Welcome to our podcast. This is Friends on Fire.
I'm Mike. I'm a lifelong devotee of financial independence. I even wrote a book about it.
And I'm Maggie, a newer convert, but just as passionate, especially on the intersection of minimalism and financial independence. We're one and the
same. We are two like-minded friends who believe that talking about money with your friends and family opens the door to financial well-being.
The Friends on Fire podcast is about dispelling myths, building financial acumen, and sharing your financial independence journey with the people you care about.
This is Friends on Fire.
Hey, Mike.
Hey, Maggie.
How's it going? I always feel like I say, how's it going?
I don't think that's true. I think we mix it up pretty evenly.
How's it going?
Good. How are you?
I'm okay. We sometimes talk about kids.
Uh-huh.
We sometimes talk about stuff that's just only relevant to certain people. And some people could argue this topic is only relevant to certain people. But the one thing we all have in common as human beings, I believe, is that
we have a heartbeat.
Well, we got a lot of things in common, actually, as human beings. Probably more than we don't. But we all have parents. We came from two people of some sorts, whether physically, whether in a lab, whether, you know, a donation. Also, I'm not going to get into all the ways we could have been created. I'm not going to explain how people are made. I'll let you have that conversation with your kids yourself. But we all came from some people. We may not call them our parents. We may have different relationships. We may not like our parents. We may have tough relationships with them, you know, whatever. But we did all come from two people. I don't know what my point is, other than we're going to talk about how if you still are in touch with your parents and you like them, we're going to talk about things you might want to be thinking about as your parents are getting older.
Or if you don't like them, but want your life to be easier when they're gone.
There you go.
These are also some tips.
You could attack it from multiple angles. Yeah. The things that will be helpful. I often think about this because, you know, I have an aging mom. Greg has aging parents. Mike, you also technically have aging parents. I just feel
like they're ageless parents, actually.
Well, I was more thinking they just don't need any help in this regard. Like, you know, the nature of they retired early. Your dad is, I don't know your mom's interest level in all these topics. Is it she like into this, or is this totally driven by your dad?
That's a good question.
Like the financial management.
I think she is extremely frugal and obviously invested in this lifestyle that they started like 35 right. years ago or whatever. So she's not the financial planner of the couple, sure.
But she's an equal, willing participant on the journey. Yes. But yeah, so your parents are probably in the probably small percentage of parents that have their stuff together on their own, I would say, and don't really, I could be wrong, but like don't need a lot of assistance with this stuff.
Yeah. The only thing my parents need assistance on is their iPhones, and I have to like help them find stuff.
Yes. Which we'll talk actually about because there are some of our thoughts actually are related to technology because it is all tied into our financial lives these days. But we hope, you know, we're going to run through a lot of high level thought starters. We're not going to be able to get into detail on all of these things. We'll reference some past episodes that get into detail about it. In a lot of our episodes, we talk about what you should do, but it's the exact same advice for your parents on a lot of things, right? When we talk about, you know, wills and estate planning and things. So we may gloss over some of these things fairly quickly, but we want to give you guys a reminder on all of the different things you might want to be thinking about to help your aging parents kind of get their financial lives in order and organized, and just all the things you should be thinking about financially and legally as you start to get older. And just a little like emotionally too, like the conversations you need to have.
All right, so let's jump into this list. And this is not going to be a one and done type conversation. It's not like a lot of our episodes where it's a thing that you go figure out and do and then it's solved. This is multifaceted. It's very emotional and will likely take years to work through with your parents. But the purpose is to keep you mindful of what you should be thinking about and helping your parents, you know, make the best decisions for their lives.
So, Mike, on that point, we've had a lot of conversations about just talking about money with people. Like in episode 101, we talk about friends don't talk about money, but they should. In episode 109, we talk about talking to your partner about money. And there's, I think, a couple others actually that I'm not even going to list here, but we frequently talk about the complexity of having these financial conversations with a spouse, a partner, a friend, et cetera. All the advice we shared in those episodes is also applicable to your parents. Now, there's a unique dynamic when you're talking to your parents, because it's not like when you're talking to your kids about money, right? You're kind of in the driver's seat, if you will, right? And, you know, it depends what your relationship is and your dynamic with your parents. But like we advise for a lot of conversations, you know, we like start small, start early. Like Mike said, this is, you know, this isn't going to be one conversation. But you want to think about, like, you know, what's the purpose of the discussion? Like, what do you want to accomplish out of it? Is there a specific thing that's inciting you to need to have the conversation, right? Is there like, is it that somebody's sick? Is it that your parents fell for a scam and you realize you need to talk about, you know, some financial stuff with them? Is it that you realize they don't have enough money for their goals and, you know, their care and other things? So, and I would just, you know, spend some time thinking about, you know, what is the ideal outcome of this conversations that you want to initiate with your parents, but start the conversation slowly and thoughtfully, but also proactively while you can still have these conversations with your parents, right? So everyone's situation is so unique. We say this with personal finance all the time. It's personal. So you gotta, you know, if you're a 20-year-old and your parents are 50, you don't need to go like start talking to your, I'm not saying you shouldn't have this conversation, because there's a lot of people who talk about different financial opportunities that their parents have, and because they grew up in their households, they, you know, knew something about their financial reality. And so there could be things where you want to have that conversation with your 50-year-old parents, but a lot of what we're talking about is a little bit more where they're like older, like getting into their 70s and older perhaps. But I think you just need to think about your own personal situation and the relationship you have with your parents, but don't be afraid to start that conversation, right? And again, we give a lot of different tips in episode 101 and 109, but there's a lot you can do to initiate that conversation slowly and thoughtfully and respectfully, right? Because you're going to the people that raised you and potentially gave you a lot throughout your life.
So in addition to thinking about what you want to accomplish, because you are going to play an active role in all of this when your parents are no longer around, but while they're alive, ask them what their wishes are and don't push your personal agenda if it conflicts. And the thing you have to remember is that while your parents are getting older, they were in charge. They raised you. They gave birth to you. They gave you a lot. And so they are owed the respect of having their wishes honored for the rest of their life. Now, there might be some things that they are not thinking about, which you can propose. There may be some things that might make your life difficult, which you can offer solutions about. But this is still their life, regardless of where you are on this journey of you growing up and your parents getting older.
Mike, I think some of the very high level and more basic things to cover with your parents, and we'll just kind of rattle these off. Again, we have episodes on many of these topics. You can go to our website and search like life insurance and it'll easily pop up. But is thinking about some of the basics, like do they have life insurance and understanding their policy? Your parents might be paying on a life insurance policy that you think they don't really need anymore. It's not actually a good use of their funds right now. And so, because life insurance is more to help take care of younger kids when they need financial support and stuff like that. So you just want to understand, like, do they have a life insurance policy? What are they currently paying on it if it's still around? Is it worth that, you know, monthly cost or annual cost to them at this point in their lives based on what you have and what they have? What is their medical insurance situation, right? Like Medicare kicks in at 65. A lot of people have other types of medical insurance that continues with them from previous jobs. I know my mom does, but she also has Medicare. And so she is kind of dual insured, which many older people are. But do they need help finding a better setup in the marketplace with medical insurance and just kind of making sure that they're paying the right thing and helping them in that area can be helpful. Stuff like even understanding their Social Security benefits is an important one. And again, this is one we're not going to get into as much detail on, but you can, they have an account on the Social Security website and can see their benefits and help them decide if they want to take them earlier or if they want to take them. There's just different amounts you get depending on when you opt to accept Social Security. And then I think the other big thing, and we've got a whole episode on this, but is just the basics of them having their wills in place, estate planning, living wills, power of attorney, things that they need from a medical and legal standpoint in place. And again, we did a whole episode on this with the estate planning attorney that I actually used, which is episode 140. And that will be a helpful refresher for everyone. But that's one of the most important things that I think you really want to make sure that you know where all that stuff is, that they've got it. They've got all those documents done professionally. And if they don't, help them get those things in place with an attorney.
And then there's a whole category of just good financial advice that you should be helping your parents with if they are open to it, regardless. And it's all the stuff that you should be doing yourself that everybody should be doing. It's just sound financial advice. And so making sure that they are appropriately invested, that they are not paying fees for different types of financial accounts that aren't necessary, that they are managing their risk profile appropriately according to their age. But one of the things that you might have an opportunity to help your parents with, especially if they are not as savvy as I think our listeners are at this point, is with a withdrawal strategy for retirement savings accounts. And we just did an episode about this in regards to early retirement, but we talked about required minimum distributions and other withdrawal strategies. This stuff applies, obviously, like when you are able to tap into those accounts, like this is what we were talking about. And so making sure that your parents understand RMDs, that they understand when they are taxed and when they are not. So for instance, 401ks are taxed. If you convert it into a Roth, it grows tax-free and they can hand it down to you tax-free. So helping them manage distributions from their various sources of income could be extremely helpful for them and also make your life easier when they're no longer around. The other thing that is a very simple fix on this list in regards to financial accounts is helping your parents convert all their accounts into what's called payable on death accounts, so POD. And it just means that you designate a beneficiary or beneficiaries on your various bank accounts or brokerage accounts. It's easy to do, but what that means is that the accounts don't enter probate. They just transfer to you immediately on their death. And it makes it very simple and it helps avoid what can be a very frustrating experience if these accounts are not in order when your parents pass away.
Mike, what's the difference on pay on death versus leaving it to your estate, which is the advice that I've been given from like our estate planning attorney?
It's the same thing, essentially. The leaving it to your estate means that it's a pay on death with the beneficiary as the estate.
Versus what would be another example of like if someone actually named somebody?
Yeah, that would be, so they could either leave it to you, Maggie, or to your, to their estate or to your estate, and it doesn't go through probate. If there is no beneficiary on an account, it has to go through the courts. If you are at all confused about what type of account you have or who the beneficiaries are, the easiest thing to do is just to call up the firm that has your money and just say you would like to have a beneficiary designated so that this account becomes payable on death. And you'd be able to find this on any website for the firms you're using. This is like a very common thing.
Basically, if you have cleanly listed beneficiaries for your accounts, you have essentially done a payable on death setup. But right. You can also double check that with all of your, usually there's like a form online you need to fill out. Sometimes there's an actual like paper you need to scan in and send back. But you're essentially designating beneficiaries properly. And it should align with all of your estate planning paperwork also. Like if you go work with an attorney to do estate planning, they'll give you a to-do list afterwards that's a reminder of like, make sure, like we said, that you know these 10 accounts should all make sure that they have this language as your beneficiary, which is essentially setting the you know pay on death benefit. Okay. The other things that, you know, Mike mentioned this earlier of just like all the things you do for yourself, right? A lot of the basics of things that we talk about on this show, like helping to make sure that your parents have a good kind of budgeting plan and can project their financial needs versus what they have, right? That they've kind of planned for medical expenses and other things. And so just having those conversations. And Mike talked earlier about, you know, understanding their investments and fees and all of these things, but just getting to like the basics of their monthly budget, right? And are they living on a budget? Do they need to be living on a budget? Do they have plenty of money regardless of what they do? And just understanding that. And a big thing, like, I think when you were talking about investments and stuff, Mike, of like all the things you do for yourself, like if they have a bunch of cash just sitting around in a checking account, that's not great, right? Get it into a high yield savings account. Wealthfront's paying out like 4.8% with their bonus right now, which is really high for even a high yield savings account. And make sure your parents don't have, a lot of older people do have a lot of cash lying around, and that is a portion of their kind of retirement funds. And just getting it into where you're earning as much as you can for that money. And again, these are all the same things that you'd want to do for yourself. But I think the spirit of this is make sure you're helping your parents do this. And I do have a good tip for, and I just thought about it while we were having this conversation, Mike, for being in a better position to understand and kind of help your parents, like offer to do their taxes. Like we do my mom's taxes, and every year it helps to initiate a conversation of like, we know where things are at. We understand her required minimum distribution setup. We understand kind of where her investments are, how she's being taxed. And it helps us help her. Like it's doing her a favor because she loves that we do take care of her taxes for her. Greg does like 95%
yeah, you supervise.
Of her taxes. I do supervise. I go over and enjoy lunch while we collect this paperwork. But it is helpful to offer to do like it. Position this as like you're doing something for them, which is true. It's helping you and it's helping everybody in the long run. But your parents are like, especially for us. I mean, Mike and I are in our 40s. You're not quite 40 yet.
I'm 40.
Oh, you're 40 now. I forgot about that.
I turned 40 a while ago, Maggie.
I forgot about that. So yeah, we're in our 40s. Our parents are getting older. And I just think about, you know, they're not as well. I was just like trying to say it in a way that is like, I don't mean it to be disrespectful at all, but like they're getting older. There's way more technology involved in all this stuff. I'll use my own mom as an example because I don't think she would mind me sharing this. The other day, I think I was like quickly going through something too fast with her. And she was like, hey, can you treat me like I'm a fifth grader? She said something like that. And I was like, okay, mom, cool. I get your point. But I was like, that's not the best example because like my fifth graders are like running circles around me with technology right now. And so, and you know, the whole thing of like, you're smarter than a fifth grader, like the fifth graders know a lot more than I do in many ways these days. But I was like, but I get your point. Like I'm moving really fast talking about some things and technology, you know, and my mom's in her late 70s and she's slowing down a little bit, you know? And I think she needs and appreciates help and advice and counsel in a lot of these areas. And so anyways, help them with their taxes. It's a good organized way to get into things.
And speaking of organization, one of the best things you can do is help them get organized with all of the paperwork that they have or need. So gather all the financial and legal documentation, simplify their accounts if necessary, write down and store passwords, alarm codes, like all of this stuff that somebody could forget, you should document. And I'll cover this now and at the very end, but one of the best things that a parent can do for their child is to compile all of this information. So like take care of all this stuff, payable on death accounts, prepare their estate, but then put it all together into a single folder of information that your children can have when you're no longer around and solve all of these problems for them. Because you don't want, when your parents die, I don't think you want to spend a lot of time like scrambling to go find their passwords to go turn off some service that they're subscribed to. Like everybody would want this to be easier.
Mike, I have a good tip that I just thought about while you were sharing that. And I heard about this a long time ago, but it's such a memorable name. I always think about it. There's a website called getyourshittogether.org. And it was written by the widow of Basically her husband died. I couldn't think how to describe that. Her husband died suddenly. She didn't know where anything was. She didn't know what their passwords were. She didn't know which banks they kept their money in. Like, I guess he just like dealt with everything. And she was so overwhelmed, in addition to grieving the loss of her husband, she just, her life was like financially and organizationally like a mess. And so her mission was to help other people with this. And I just think it's really cool because they've got some great checklists on their website and a bunch of free resources. I think maybe it all started as free resources. She might have a couple things for sale now, but it's a great helpful checklist of just all these things and like where all these documents are. And, all these things we're talking about for our parents, like you want to do this with your partner and spouse also, right? Like know where key passwords are. So I was reading something, doing some research for this episode, Mike, and it was talking about like keys to houses. It was talking about people with like multiple homes. It was in like some Fidelity packet. And I was like, oh, I don't know. There's like multiple homes I need to get keys from for my mom. But there are things where like, do my brother or I have a key to her place, right? If something were to happen. And we do, but those are just the sort of logistics that you want to think about and talk through. And I think sometimes these conversations can feel stressful or negative, like you're talking about something bad happening. But I remember having to do like a prenup and wills and stuff with Greg. And yeah, they're tougher conversations, but they're important conversations, right? And like the whole spirit of everything we talk about here is like there's value in having these open, honest conversations with people. So we just, you know, encourage you guys to dive into this stuff, even if it feels awkward at times or sad.
Switching gears back to some more financial advice, one of the things that everybody has to think about is going to be estate taxes. Now, most people listening to this will not be impacted by estate taxes. So the federal limit on an estate being taxable is $13 million, and only 17 states have some sort of estate tax.
I never knew this. Like, I did not know that there was that $13 million limit on things. Like, keep going, because I'm learning things.
The estate tax is like a specific tax on anything over whatever the limit is, federal or state. But there's going to be all kinds of tax implications for financial assets moving over. So like if you inherit a 401k, you're going to have to take distributions from that. If you get a Roth, you're going to have to take distributions from that. There's going to be tax implications of that.
And are you taxed at your own rate? So like if I inherit my mom's 401k and I'm in a high tax bracket, like I would have been taxed at my income, not hers.
Well, no, you will be forced to take distributions from her account. Until you do, it's not taxable. Like you inherit the account and then you are forced to take distributions. Same with a Roth.
But distributions at her math, like her requirement?
No, it becomes your account. It's like your 401k, but you have to take it.
But how does that work then?
You inherit the account, it becomes your 401k, but you are forced to take distributions within a certain number of years. You have to deplete the account.
Well, that's like okay. So there's different than the RMD rules. There's like different rules. Okay.
Right. So like Maggie, you talked about at the beginning of the episode, we're going to gloss over a lot of this stuff because it can get very specific and complicated, but understand estate taxes and other types of tax implications for inherited assets when you are planning with your parents. Now, I mentioned early in the episode that you should be respectful of your parents' wishes. But if you want to like throw in a little bit of your own ambitions here as well, you can offer, if your parents have more assets than they need, to work out some tax-free gifts. And so the IRS allows $17,000 per year per recipient from each parent to be tax-free. So that is, and it all like rolls up to this lifetime limit, that $13 million. But essentially, they can give you this money or give it to your children or give it to whoever they want. And it is not taxable. And so if you wanted to get some help with college or medical expenses or make some gifts to your children or in any way start transferring assets earlier, keep in mind the gift limit and take advantage of it.
And I would add too, you know, you can get creative on this in a way that helps you and your parents. And we've done something like this. So I'll just share a personal example. We haven't done it every single year, but for a couple of years, my mom has actually given us this gift amount. And I proposed the idea. I said, hey, you know, just because of the tax reality, if you gift us this amount, it's, you know, it's under the IRS limit. And the amount changes, that limit changes, just like 401k amounts. They change every year slightly. But it used to be like 15,000 a couple of years ago. And she would give us just under that amount. And I said, hey, I'm going to actually keep that money. Like, my brother and I are very responsible. I'm going to keep that money. I'm not going to spend it. I'm not going to go like blow it on something. I'm going to keep it in what I call like your long-term care fund. And I'm going to invest it. I'm going to take care of it. I'm going to manage it just like I would my own money. And know that if you ever need it, it's yours. Like, I'm holding it for her, essentially, right? If you have a great relationship with your kids and a trusting relationship, this could be a very creative way to say, like, even if your parents don't quite know if they ever need that money, because my mom may very well need that money for a medical issue or long-term care that she, that's more than she's predicting will happen. But I've got that money, and I know that it is earmarked for her first if she needs it. And if not, it was an early tax-free inheritance. So the thing that I didn't fully realize or like understand and still need to learn more about myself, Mike, is the whole reality of like taxes with estates and inheritances and stuff like that. Because your comment about the estate taxes only taxable above $13 million, I kind of like when I was like, I didn't really realize that, because I thought a lot of the money that we would inherit would be taxed in some way. But the way it is like the 401k example that you were sharing, right? And that's where things get tricky, is that there's not like a specific, if she just has $50,000 in a checking account and that gets payable to me, how is that taxed?
That's not taxed.
Okay. So that's helpful to understand. And again, we're not going to give like detailed tax advice here, and we don't take any of this as detailed tax advice. But starting to understand this, and understanding like, you know, the way that a pension or a 401k could be, you know, received might be different than the way that, you know, investment funds and other things could be received upon someone passing an inheritance. The other thing that we have talked about that is important, particularly for all of us, but I'd say particularly with our parents, because that is who a lot of these scammers tend to target, older audiences. And we did a whole episode in episode 160. I forgot what it was called, Mike, but it was something about avoiding and recognizing financial scams or how to avoid them. But just educate your parents about financial scams, right? Remind them like to never, ever give their passwords to anyone, take unsolicited phone calls asking about financial information, never to Venmo money to anyone, never to do any weird transfers. Like, I mean, I've told my mom, like, just always call me if something sounds sketchy, and she'll send me things all the time. And she's like, is this legit? Is this legit? And just remind your parents how much, there's some very clever financial scams out there lately, and they can get past the best of us. And so just always be on alert. And I don't think it's wrong to like advise your parents, like, never do anything without like calling me first, right? I don't mean to be like, you're not like a child. But there is some sort of role reversal in parent-child relationships over time, where I do think your parents are depending on their kids for advice and counsel in some of these areas.
Hopefully this list is a good thought starter for all the things you should consider talking to your parents about. One important thing to consider at the front end, though, is if you have siblings, you should definitely make this a group discussion. Perhaps you are not that close with your siblings. Perhaps they don't want to be involved in the same way you want to be involved, but you should at least check with them first to understand what their needs are, so you don't get into a protracted fight after your parents are no longer here and you have to then solve these problems with your siblings later.
Yeah, that's a great point. Like, I pitched that gift idea. When I pitched it to my mom, I wasn't like, oh, just do it for me. And then like my brother would find out about it years. I was like, do it for both of us. And like, let's, you know, and I think it's a creative, you know, solution. But yes, I would not surprise your sibling or siblings with like, oh, guess what? I went and took care of everything. You don't have to do any, you know, it's just not going to feel good to them. Let them opt out if they want to.
And then the last piece of advice is what I touched on earlier in the show, that when you're done, create copies of everything that you have been working on, all the account numbers, all the passwords, all the wills, all the account summaries and put them in a folder, seal it, and make sure that you and all your siblings have it for when your parents are no longer here. It is going to make the entire process of dealing with their estate so much simpler. And I think most parents will want this for their kids. So you might not be involved in compiling this information, but if you suggest it to your parents, I would think that most parents would want to do this for their families.
Yeah, so I hope that list was helpful for everybody. And again, I hope it's just some, you know, thought starters to get you thinking about and doing a little bit more research into the specific things that might be most relevant for your parents. You know, Mike, one of the things we didn't talk about, and we're not going to talk about it, but I'll just mention that we're not going to talk about it. And I can't remember the episode, but if people are curious about this specific scenario and setup, they should go look at Rich and Regular's podcast, because they talk about this in a bunch of different ways. I think they've done some like YouTube money on the table discussions on this and podcasts on it. But on, you know, if you have a financially insecure parent where you actually need to help them financially, which is a position many people are in, you know, I think, Mike, you and I are pretty privileged in the sense that our parents can mostly take care of themselves financially, so far at least, right? I don't anticipate having to step in and, you know, subsidize anything with my mom. And I think Greg's in a similar position. And I think you're in a similar position, Mike. I don't know. I think I would imagine Britta's in a similar position from what I know of her parents too.
Yeah, we're very lucky.
We're very lucky. But there are a lot of people where this isn't just helping them and educating them and getting them organized. They actually may have to help to pay their rent, may have to, you know, like they just may not and be in a position where they're managing their own finances and having to help support their parents in some way. And we are not as much, you know, experts on that and did not get into that angle of things in this episode. But if it is a situation you find yourself in, again, one of the best resources I know in that category is Rich and Regular, which are Kirsten and Julian. And you can, you know, go check out their website and podcast and YouTube channel. But let's jump into our top three takeaways.
First key takeaway is that it is important to have these discussions with your parents.
Number two, start thoughtfully and early, as we would advise with all financial discussions and conversations.
And number three, even if you don't change anything about their approach, help them get organized, because it will benefit both of you.
Cool. Well, I hope this was a helpful conversation. This actually reminds me of some things that I need to continue to help my mom with and get organized on. So it's helpful for me.
And it reminds me that I should call my mom and say hi today.
Yeah, there you go. And hey, yeah, if you get nothing else out of this episode, if your parents are still around, if you were lucky enough to be in that position, call them up. Remind them that you love them. Thank them for all the awesome things they may have done for you throughout your life. If you don't have your parents with you anymore, I'm very sorry. And do something special to honor them today. It's a nice reminder. I'll think of something special to honor my dad today. I don't know what it is yet, but I'll come up with it.
So thanks everybody for listening. If you've been challenged or inspired by what you've heard, please share this episode with a friend or family member. We believe that talking to friends about money improves and deepens your relationships, and it's why we started this podcast. So spread the word and share it with a friend.
Or share it with your parents. You can also rate and review the show and subscribe to make sure that you never miss an episode. If you have any thoughts or questions, we would love to hear from you, and you can leave us a voicemail or text us at 404-981-3370, or you can hit us up on Instagram.
All right. Thanks, Maggie.
Okay. Thanks, Mike.
Bye.